World, national, and state news is coming up in 30 minutes, followed by today's sales circulars and the editorial and opinion pages. That's all ahead, right after the morning sports on Chris. It's 7:30.
Chris Sports. Chris takes a look now at the sports sections of today's newspapers. The sports data, sports stats you get only from the newspaper. Now, Chris Sports.
Hello, it's Thursday, December 9th, 2021. I'm Chris Kelly. Welcome to Chris Sports. We're looking at the pictures on the front page of the current sports section this morning, and a very large photo of RJ Cole driving the lane, getting bumped from behind by a defender from West Virginia, with the headline, Power Shortage, Down Two Stars, Huskies Lose Low-Scoring Affair to Mountaineers. Sometimes you live by the three, and sometimes you die by the three. On Wednesday night, the UConn men's basketball team died by the three. Down two stars in a hostile environment, UConn lost a heartbreaker, 56-53 to West Virginia, in a Big East, Big 12 battle game on Wednesday at West Virginia Coliseum. The Huskies shot a horrific 3 for 21, 14% from 3. I'd say out of the 18 threes that we missed, I'd probably say 8, 9, or 10 of those were pretty good looks, said UConn coach Dan Hurley. We make a couple of them, we walk out of here with a win. Taz Sherman led West Virginia in scoring with 23 points, including 3 for 6 from 3. Isaiah Whaley led all UConn scorers with 15 on 7 for 10 shooting from the field. The Huskies came into the game missing two of their three leading rebounders and sophomore forward Adama Sanogo and senior guard Tyrese Martin. Martin and Sanogo are out multiple weeks with injuries. Both are among the top five on the team in points, rebounds, and blocks. Against a raucous West Virginia crowd, their absence was sorely missed at pivotal moments. UConn struggled to find the right shot multiple times, leading to multiple shot clock violations. UConn's season scoring leader RJ Cole struggled without their presence on offense, finishing with 14 points on just 6 of 17 shooting. The Huskies had 16 turnovers, struggling against the famous West Virginia press at times. Still, Hurley wasn't all doom and gloom about his team. I thought we fought hard. We obviously couldn't score enough, he said. Cole felt that this was a great learning experience for the team. It was a good atmosphere, he said. A lot of guys are playing their first away game, and they tested us, of course. We just didn't come out with enough to win. Over the first 10 minutes, 11 seconds, Andre Jackson and Whaley combined for all 15 of UConn's points. Jalen Gaffney broke the streak with a breakout fast break dunk that put UConn up 17-16. The crowd's hostile atmosphere seemed to play a role in affecting shots, as UConn had multiple air balls in the first half. Despite its poor shooting from behind the arc, UConn still shot 12 of 27, 44%, from the field. Whaley led UConn with 9 points on 4 of 7 shooting. The Mountaineers were hot from 3 as they shot 5 of 10 in the first half. West Virginia came into the game making 7 threes a game. Sherman and Sean McNeil had 13 points apiece for the Mountaineers, who went into the half with a 32-29 lead. Discombobulated was the word to describe the Huskies' second-half start. At 15:57, Cole had his pass stolen, and it seemed like an easy layup for West Virginia's Paulie Polycap until a cook made a chase-down block that had many in the West Virginia crowd bemoaning for a foul call. From there, Jackson ran down the court and passed to Jordan Hawkins, only for him to lose the ball, his third turnover up to that point. Down 33-38, Cole brought the Huskies right back with the back-to-back three-pointers. Those threes were just the second and third of the night for the Huskies to put UConn up 39-38. With 3:20 to go and the score tied at 51, Tyler Poley lost the ball that led to a jump ball call that gave the Mountaineers possession. Polycap drove to the hoop and went to the free throw line, making one of them. Then West Virginia played lockdown defense that led to a shot clock violation. After a missed dunk by West Virginia at 1:25, UConn collected the rebound, and Coach Dan Hurley called timeout. After multiple missed attempts on offensive rebounds by the Huskies, West Virginia got the ball finally and knocked down some pivotal free throws. With 17 seconds to go, UConn made a pivotal mistake and allowed the Mountaineers to collect a pivotal offensive rebound on a free throw that led to more chances at the line after a foul by Cole. West Virginia's Sean McNeil sank both, putting them up 55-51. That was essentially the final nail in the coffin for UConn. I just think we made wrong, timely decisions in the last few minutes, and the biggest one for us was probably the free throw box out, said Cole. I mean, we made mistakes the whole game. We just got to continue getting better. For much of the UConn team, this was the first real road game against a tough opponent, and at times, nerves seemed to get the best of them. Hawkins, fresh off one of his best games against Grambling, struggled with West Virginia's defensive pressure. He had 0 points on 0-for-7 shooting with 3 turnovers. We're trying to keep Jordan's head up. He's really disappointed, said Jackson. He did really good. He's a freshman, still learning. He's really down on himself, though, but we are keeping him up. UConn's road trip continues Saturday with a game against St. Bonaventure at the Prudential Center in Newark, New Jersey. To the women, a new reality. Team adapting to playing without Beckers and now Mule for the foreseeable future. When it rains, it pours. 3 days after UConn women's basketball star Paige Beckers suffered a tibial plateau fracture that will sideline her for 6 to 8 weeks, the Huskies received more bad news Wednesday. They'll be without their other point guard, Nika Mule, for approximately 3 weeks due to a nagging foot issue. The Mule development came as a surprise from onlookers, but Coach Gino Auriemma said the program is trying to be cautious to prevent the reaction she's experiencing in her foot from becoming worse. How quickly people heal, it depends on each individual, Auriemma said. That's going to be the determining factor in how quickly Mule returns. With freshman Azzie Fudd still out due to the beginning of a stress reaction in her foot, the Huskies are now down to 3 guards. Senior Kristen Williams, redshirt senior Abina Westbrook, and freshman Caroline Ducharme for the foreseeable future. Meanwhile, junior Aubrey Griffin was expected to make her season debut last week, but experienced a setback in practice. Auriemma said she tried to give it a go Tuesday, but it, quote, wasn't really successful, and she didn't practice Wednesday. I'm not quite sure what her status could be either Thursday or Saturday. I guess we'll see day to day how that evolves. With 4 players shut down, including the reigning National Player of the Year, it is no wonder why Auriemma called the last few days probably as difficult as any days that I can remember for the program. These things happen, Auriemma said. When you lose somebody like Paige, but if you have Nika available, it takes some of the sting off. If you have Azzie available, it takes some of the sting off. But when you throw in all 3 of them, that's a real gut punch. UConn doesn't have much time to figure out how to function without Beckers and Mule, who started half the season last year and would have backed up Beckers if healthy. The Huskies travel to Atlanta Wednesday ahead of their Thursday matchup against Georgia Tech, then have to face a similarly depleted UCLA team Saturday in the Never Forget Tribute Classic in New Jersey. We've just got to weather the storm, Auriemma said. It's just going to be a long storm. The Huskies got their first taste of life without Beckers in Tuesday's practice. It was a little bit of a struggle just trying to adjust to everything, Westbrook said. But once we get into the swing of things, we have no choice but to adapt. We have no other choice. Missing Azzie was hard. Now missing Paige is going to be really difficult for us, but we're going to be just fine. It's something we have to do. We have no choice. UConn's 3 seniors, Williams, Westbrook, and Olivia Nelson-Adota, will no doubt be tasked to step up. But even with those 3 holding things down, there's no doubt UConn will look different. There won't be as much creativity and as much freedom and fluidness that Paige gives us, so our execution is going to have to be even more precise, Auriemma said. Even with Beckers on the court, the Huskies have struggled with turnovers this season, committing a season-high 21 against Notre Dame. Westbrook said players talked over the situation after Tuesday's practice, stressing that everyone needed to contribute a little more for the team to get through the next couple of weeks. Given her previous experience dealing with a knee issue that sidelined her, Westbrook has also been sure to be in Becker's ear to make sure that she doesn't feel too isolated or hopeless. "She's going to struggle. I went through a year and a half of it," Westbrook said. "She's a little bit hard-headed. She's stubborn. Oh, I can't do it." And I'm telling her, "You're sitting out. You have no choice. The big goal is the national championship. Everyone knows what you bring to the table. We'll be here when you get back." Auriemma's teams have seen devastating injuries. He thinks back to losing Shea Ralph to an ACL tear in the 97 NCAA tournament and how his team reacted horribly to that. "They actually reacted as if someone had passed away, and it cost us. We could have won had we handled it differently." A few seasons later, he said his team handled it exceptionally better when it lost both Ralph and Svetlana Abrosimova. How will this season's team handle this difficult stretch? We will find out beginning Thursday. The time is now for Trio to step up. When Paige Beckers burst onto the college basketball scene last season, it didn't take long for her to establish herself as the Huskies' best player, the player they'd turn to create offense or to get a critical bucket at the end of the game. Beckers has excelled in that role, but for the next 68 weeks, as she heals from her injury, the Huskies need to dig deep to figure out their identity without her. Players and Coach Gino Auriemma told media Wednesday that it'll take a team effort to compensate for the loss of Beckers, not to mention Azzie Fudd, Nika Mule, and Aubrey Griffin, who joined Beckers on the Huskies' injured reserve. There is little doubt that the bulk of the responsibility now rests with the three players in particular, seniors Kristen Williams and Olivia Nelson-Adota, as well as redshirt senior Abina Westbrook. The Beckers-less stretch starts Thursday when the Huskies face Georgia Tech in Nelson Adota's homecoming game. The Yellow Jackets are 6-2. Their two losses came against Auburn and Purdue, though they did beat number 20 Georgia. UConn senior trio have had bouts of inconsistency across their careers and sometimes in this season alone. But the beauty of what Auriemma is demanding is that he's asking them to be the best versions of themselves. For Williams, that looks like how she played in the end of her junior season, where she became a lethal two-way threat, or how she fared in the Arkansas and Minnesota games this year. Westbrook also had a strong start to the season, and her performance at Tennessee and Arkansas last season stick out. "We need Avina at her best. Whatever her best game has been since she got to UConn, that's what we need every game," Auriemma said. "Whatever Kristen's best game has been since she's been at UConn, we need that every game." I think that should be a sense of reassurance for them, that coach isn't imposing these unrealistic expectations on me. He's just expecting me to be at my best. Westbrook will help facilitate the offense with Beckers and Mule out, and Williams must be aggressive to get to the rim. They both need to hit outside shots. Williams is shooting just 31% on threes. Westbrook is 1 of 8 over the last two games. Here's what else you need to know about the matchup. It's at the McCamish Pavilion in Atlanta at 7 o'clock. UConn leads the all-time series 2-0. The last meeting, UConn was number one back in November of 2010. UConn won it 71-52. It's going to be on ESPN2 with Rebecca Lobo, Carolyn Peck, and Ryan Rucco. And on the radio, the UConn IMG Sports Network with Bob Joyce and Debbie Fisk. Georgia Tech's probable starters and sixth woman, Lorella Kuba, is a 6'4 graduate student forward. Digna Stroutman is a 6'2 graduate forward. Neria Hermosa is a 6'5 junior forward. Aliyah Love is a 6'1 sophomore guard. Lotta Latinen is a 5'9 senior guard. And Sarah Bates, a 5'9 senior guard. The Huskies have Kristen Williams, Olivia Nelson-Adota, Avina Westbrook, Alea Edwards, Carolyn Ducharme, and Dorka Jusis. UConn's offense, Becker's 21 points and 6 assists per game will be missed, as will the facilitating and perimeter threat that Mule poses. Williams and Westbrook must help compensate. UConn's defense. Auriemma has actually been pleased with how his team has defended since the Arkansas game and how it's rebounded since the South Carolina loss. Georgia Tech's offense. Georgia Tech plays at an extremely slow pace and averages only 61.5 points per game on 40% shooting. Their top scorer is Hermosa with 11.5 points per game. On defense, defense is the heart of the Georgia Tech team. The Yellow Jackets allow just 46 points per game, the second best mark in the country, on 31.5% shooting. They're also a strong rebounding team, especially on the defensive end. No team has scored more than 60 points against them. UConn's keys. Offensive execution, rebounding, may have to win with defense. Taking a look at the weather from Gary Lesser in the Current. High pressure will bring partly sunny skies and cool temperatures on Thursday. It'll be breezy at times. A warm front will advance toward the region overnight, causing mostly cloudy skies and a chance for a shower late at night or early Friday morning. It'll remain mostly cloudy on Friday, with temperatures moderating back to seasonable levels. The warm front will move through the state Saturday morning, allowing temperatures to turn unseasonably mild, with highs close to or exceeding the 60-degree mark, but there will be plenty of clouds and scattered showers. So this is what it looks like. Today, mostly sunny in the morning, then increasing cloudiness, a low of 26, a high of 38. Friday, mostly cloudy and seasonable with a chance for a shower, a low of 35, a high of 45. And Saturday, mostly cloudy, becoming very breezy, a low of 37, a high of 61. Taking a look at what's on the air today in sports, starting in basketball, at 6:30, Texas at Seton Hall on FS1. At 7 o'clock, the UConn women at Georgia Tech on ESPN2. Also at 7 o'clock, the Utah Jazz at the 76ers on NBA. At 8:30, Monmouth at St. John's on FS1. 9 o'clock, Iowa at Iowa State on ESPN2. Football at 8 p.m., Pittsburgh at Minnesota on Fox and NFL. Hockey at 9 p.m., the Bruins at the Edmonton Oilers on NESN. Tennis at 6 a.m. and 2:30 p.m. ATP Tennis on the Tennis Channel. And the NCAA Women's Volleyball Tournament continues today with games back-to-back-to-back-to-back from 11 a.m. to 9:30 tonight on ESPNU. Pacers 122, Knicks 102. Duarte Turner combined for 45 points to put away New York. Chris Duarte scored 23. Miles Turner had 22, and the Pacers beat the Knicks 122-102 Wednesday in Indianapolis. Duarte, a rookie shooting guard, eclipsed his 13-point shooting average with 14 in the first quarter when the Pacers seized control with a 15-2 run. Indiana outscored New York in each of the first three quarters to lead 96-76 and maintained a double-digit lead from midway through the second quarter until the final buzzer. In a late game from Tuesday, Lakers 117, Celtics 102. LeBron James scored 30 points, Russell Westbrook added 24 and 11 assists, and the Lakers beat Boston in the latest chapter of the NBA's most storied rivalry. Anthony Davis had 17 points, 16 rebounds for the Lakers, who produced one of their best recent performances in their fourth victory in six games overall. Jason Tatum scored 14 of his 34 points in an incredibly early first quarter blitz for the Celtics, who dropped to 1-2 on their four-game West Coast trip. Also on Tuesday night, Knicks 121, Spurs 109. RJ Barrett made a career-high 7 three-pointers and scored 32, and New York snapped a three-game skid. Avalanche 7, Rangers 3. Avs rout Rangers to end seven-game winning streak. Logan O'Connor scored twice in a 22-second span on a five-goal second period, and the Colorado Avalanche beat the Rangers 7-3 Wednesday, ending New York's seven-game winning streak. And a late game on Tuesday, the Rangers beat the Blackhawks 6-3. By the time Chicago forward Yuri Karai saw New York Rangers defenseman Jacob Trouba, it was too late. The result was a huge hit that sent Kara to the hospital. He was stretchered off the ice after he was leveled by Trouba in the second period of New York 6-2 victory Tuesday night. Rosa named State's top player. Bristol Central senior quarterback Victor Rosa, who is verbally committed to play football at UConn next season, was named the 21-22 Gatorade Connecticut Football Player of the Year on Tuesday. He rushed for 2,728 yards and 41 touchdowns this season for the Rams, who went 9-2 and advanced to the Class L quarterfinals. From the Yankees, Frazier hasn't quite turned the page on tumultuous time with Yanks just yet. Clint Frazier isn't losing any sleep over being designated for assignment by the Yankees. The controversial outfielder was excited for his next chapter on Tuesday when a fan responded to a Frazier tweet with, "I'm so glad this dude isn't a Yankee anymore." Frazier shot back, "So am I," along with four rolling on the floor laughing emojis. Frazier was unceremoniously released by the Yankees to open up a spot on the 40-man roster. He was not a free agent long, signed by the Cubs right before MLB instituted the lockout. From the Mets, where a managerial search stands is as Showalter interviews. For the last 2 years, the Mets were managed by a man in his late 30s. Luis Rojas celebrated his 40th birthday amid very uncelebratory conditions last season, as the Mets were already deep into their freefall by Rojas's birthday on September 1st. Following his dismissal, the Mets have widened their search for his replacement. While several of the reported candidates also skew to the younger side, the one generating the most buzz began his managerial career before several players on the Mets were even born. According to several reports, Buck Showalter, who was set to interview for the job on Wednesday, is the favorite to fill the vacancy in Citi Field's home dugout. Showalter, with 1,551 wins in three Manager of the Year awards from his 20 seasons as a manager, is the classic establishment figure. Apart from managing in a World Series, the 65-year-old has seen nearly everything the game has to offer. Running down the times for the state championship football games this weekend, Class L, the 5-seed Windsor against Maloney at 11 a.m. Both teams are 11-1. Class M, number 2 Rockville against number 1 Killingly at 3 o'clock. That'll be at Trumbull High. Rockville's 10-2, Killingly 11-0. Class S, number 2 Cromwell Portland versus number 1 Bloomfield at 11 a.m. And it says all games are at Veterans Stadium, so I don't know how they're going to squeeze in two games at 11 o'clock. But both those teams are 12-0. And then Class Double L, number 3 Darien against number 1 Fairfield Prep. That's a 3 o'clock game, and both teams are 11-1. From the Patriots, how quarterback Jones, Pats are approaching bye week. After 13 consecutive games to open the season, the Patriots are one of four teams this week with the latest bye week in NFL history. There are different ways they will use the time off, but maybe more so than any other year, rest and recovery is certainly a priority for the 12 days between Monday night's win in Buffalo and the next Saturday's game against the Colts. "Yeah, get your rest this week," said special teams captain Matthew Slater. "Our guys have been going at real hard, and I think this is a good time for our team to try to get healthy and get our legs underneath us," added Lawrence Guy. "We've been going since July, so it's been nonstop pounding on our body. I think the best thing about the bye is that you have this time to recover." From the In Brief section, Barcelona's 17-year streak of advancing to the Champions League knockout rounds each season ended Wednesday with an exit from the group stage that failed to finish on time because of snow in Italy. Barca fell to a 3-0 loss at Bayern Munich that dumped the five-time European champion into a dismal and deserved third place in Group E. From college basketball, Johnny Davis scored 23 points and made a go-ahead three-pointer with 1:18 left to help number 22 Wisconsin erase a 22-point deficit and beat Indiana 64-59 to extend its home domination in the series. From the NFL, arrested for driving twice the speed limit through a rural Alabama community, former Saints player Glenn Foster wound up in a jail where he allegedly beat up another prisoner while trying to steal socks, authorities said. Foster showed signs of mental instability during a court appearance and a judge ordered him held for an evaluation just hours before he died in custody. It's still unknown exactly what caused Foster's death, and Alabama State Police say they were investigating. Foster's parents said he had been diagnosed with mental problems, and they told the Times-Picayune that they fear their son might not have received proper care while he was in custody. Originally from Chicago, Foster had been living in Baton Rouge. He played two seasons at defensive end for the Saints, appearing in 17 games in 2013-2014. Tee time for Tiger. Woods set to return. 10 months after his right leg was badly damaged in a car crash, Tiger Woods is returning to competition next week with 12-year-old son Charlie in the PNC Championship. Although it's been a long and challenging year, I'm very excited to close it out by competing in the PNC Championship with my son, Woods tweeted. I'm playing as a dad and couldn't be more excited and proud. It'll be the first competition, even in a tournament Woods described last week as the hit and giggle variety, that he can play, since he and his son tied for seventh a year ago in an unofficial event that pairs family members. The tournament was holding a spot for Woods, and he fueled speculation he might play the December 18-19 event at the Ritz-Carlton Golf Club, Orlando, when he took full swings with driver on Saturday and Sunday during his Hero World Challenge in the Bahamas. Woods was driving to a Los Angeles course for a television shoot on February 23rd when police say he was driving about 85 miles an hour along a winding coastal suburban road. The SUV crashed through a median and plunged down a hill. Taking a look at some standings from the NBA, Brooklyn has a 3-game lead over Philadelphia in the Atlantic Division. Boston has 4 games back. The Knicks are 5 out. In the Southeast, Miami and Washington are tied for first, 1.5 games ahead of Atlanta. In the Central, Chicago has a 1-game lead over Milwaukee. In the Western Conference Southwest Division, Memphis has a 2.5-game lead on Dallas. In the Northwest, Utah has a 5-game lead on Denver. And in the Pacific, Golden State and Phoenix are 7.5 games up on the Clippers and the Lakers. And in the NHL, Atlantic Division, Florida has 38 points. They're tied with Toronto for first, followed by Tampa Bay with 36, Detroit with 29, and Boston with 25. In the Metro Division, Washington has 38 points, the Rangers 37, Carolina 35. In the Central Division of the Western Conference, Minnesota has 37 points, and they lead Colorado and St. Louis, that both have 30. And in the Pacific, Calgary has 35 points to lead Anaheim by 2. Edmonton is 3 back. Mara should see this rebuild through. John Mara's reaction to the 21 Giants season will be defined by his perspective on it and his expectations for it. If the team president still genuinely believes that he fielded a playoff-worthy roster this fall, then he would presumably view this 4-8 team as underachieving. If he believes that, blowing it all up again would be on the table for the Giants team practicing here all week at the University of Arizona ahead of Sunday's game at the Chargers. But if Mara is realistic, and if he comes to grips with this year's roster still being grossly incomplete, then he will recommit to this rebuild and exercise patience with head coach Joe Judge and his fledgling program. And I do believe, this is Pat Leonard from the New York Daily News, Mara, for all of his recent missteps, sees the value of staying true to the course that he himself set for this organization in January 2020 with his out-of-the-box hiring of Judge. This is the same owner who oversaw 2 Super Bowl runs in 5 years between 2007 and 2011. After all, he's been steward of a gold standard winner before and could be again. There is pressure on everyone in the Giants building, obviously, as evidenced by the firing of offensive coordinator Jason Garrett 2 weeks ago. That's the latest from the sports world. Stay tuned now for a Chris News program. You can catch the front pages at 1 p.m., 6 p.m., and 11 p.m. Have a great day.